Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
In celebration of the fourth anniversary of our show, we are airing some of our favorites from the past few years.
Our guest today is Margaret Morgenroth Gallet, who is a resident scholar in the Women's Studies Research Center at Brandeis University and a critic, essayist, and activist. Welcome to the program, Margaret.
Oh, thank you so much. I enjoyed it tremendously the last time, and so looking forward to this time, too.
Thank you. We are very much excited that you agreed to be with us today. Many people over 50 in our community are feeling hopelessness and grief after the election. Is their experience of the election qualitatively different from that of other generations? And if so, how?
I mean, I think that the shock and the surprise and the grief was pretty universal. And I think they all had the same obvious causes, that is to say, shock at the loss of our agenda, our racial agenda, our environmental agenda. And from my point of view, I have a whole midlife job agenda. So that's the first phase. And I guess the second phase is, what do I most worry about now? As an anti-ageist and as a grandmother and as a feminist and as an environmentalist, I worry about my grandchildren. I have two. They're 10 and they're 2. And I worry about episodes of misogyny in their lives. I think that's a terrible new possibility. One is in middle school, and some of the worst episodes in the school context have been happening in middle schools, and they have to do with the imitation of the misogynist in chief. That's a serious concern. That's sort of my granddaughters and my family preoccupations, although they link up with preoccupations of all the people who feel the new vulnerabilities. I have issues about midlife job loss. I have been writing for decades about the loss of midlife jobs, and I call the form of ageism that produces this middle ageism. And what it means is that people are less willing to hire you if you are over 40 or 45 or 50. And if you lose a job, they're less willing to look at your credentials. And people have had this problem for decades. I think this midlife job loss started in various ways in the 1980s under the Reagan administration. Certainly, family farmers started to lose their farms with many foreclosures in the 1980s. There was a crisis, a rural crisis, that is still going on. Some of them stuck it out. They're now among the older farmers in the United States. That's a midlife job concern. It's not so much about discrimination. It's more about neoliberal capitalism, which, starting in the 1980s and going on, worsened the conditions for family farmers. But the issue was much broader than family farms, and it started in the 1980s also with deindustrialization. And that's where we lost not just black and white family farmers, but we lost black and white industrial workers who had been unionized. Deindustrialization went along with the weakness of the unions. And the weakness of the unions has, of course, affected everybody in the country, because whether you're union or not union, unions provide a floor for the working class. And the result that we see, which has been disastrous in this election, is that the people with stagnant wages, despite growing American productivity, have not known what to do with this personal knowledge that they are excluded from the American economy. And they were misled into believing that Donald Trump was going to solve this problem.
What responsibilities or roles do you think our generation particularly, in other words, older adults, have in our society in this post-election time?
Every woman, every man of any age has to find their own path now. I can say something about what I was doing before the election and what I think I'll be doing after the election. I went to New Hampshire, and I worked for a group called the New American Majority. I don't understand why we're not hearing more through the media of their vulnerability, their fear, their fear that they're going to be assaulted, their fear that in the emphasis on white workers, white men mostly, everything else will be forgotten. I have tried to eliminate that problem by not talking about white workers, by talking about midwife workers. I'm going to work with these groups that now feel so vulnerable. I'm going to write, I've started writing an op-ed that is about midwife workers and what the economy needs to do for them. I think we also need to look at the 2018 election. I think if Trump does a lot of what he promises, I think there will be a backlash that will be a serious backlash in 2018. And then the big thing that's coming up is the Million Women March. I think that that will include a lot of organizations, not just Planned Parenthood and NARAL, but the organizations that work for older people. I fear for Social Security. I fear for Medicare and Medicaid. And so I want people to look at groups like OWL, O-W-L. I hope they're there in the Million Women March. I want them to look at Justice in Aging, which does legal work for very poor old people. I mean, if we had gotten a Democrat, we would have expanded Social Security. Now we've got somebody who wants to privatize it. We'll see what happens in 2018 and 2020. One of my girlfriends, who's 84, I guess, said to me, you know, I won't live long enough to see a woman in the White House. Well, you know, maybe it'll be Elizabeth Warren in 2020. Whether it is or not, I'm saying Elizabeth Warren 2020, Elizabeth Warren 2020. Just keep it in mind. And I want my granddaughter to keep that in mind, too. I want her to be what Hillary Clinton said she should be, proud to be a girl, proud to look forward to being a woman, proud to be living in a country that could nominate a woman for the presidency. I think a lot of girls are going to take down their princess signs and put up their president signs.
I cannot think of a better note on which to end this interview, which has been so rich and deep from the societal to the personal. Margaret, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the link to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to our website at chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.